Okay, everybody. So we did yesterday. Vishamda and Seolmad. Now, just to understand a little bit the structure of the next section, so then we can understand, you know, the Haggadah and then the Pirsha Negra. So what we're going to do now in the Haggadah is that we're going to bring down the Pesukim and Devarim that talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim in a very, very brief way. It's four Pesukim, say the whole story from when Yaakov came down till we left. And it's the story that the person who brings Bikurim recites when he brings the Bikurim. And we're going to now say the whole pasuk, and then like the style of a Gemara, we'll take each word and make a drasha on the word. So what you have to do, pasha pshat, to read the Haggadah, you have to read the whole pasuk, and then you have to read the word and say, there's something about the word that seems to be bothering the Baal Haggadah. Maybe we could have used a different word, same style that you would have done in a Gemara or in Rashi al Torah or anything like that. And then the Baal Haggadah makes a drasha out of it, okay? So we're not going to, go everything, but just to say the point that the Gra says. So the pasuk, the first pasuk that the Baal Haggadah brings is Shenema, Arami Oyved Avi, which was, according to the Baal Haggadah, was referring to Lavan, who tried to kill Yaakov. Vayered Mitzrayim, then Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, Vayogar Sham, and he lived there, B'mseimaot, with a small number of people. Vayisham Lagoy, and he became a nation, Gadol, large. Atzum V'rav, very great. So each one of these words, we're going to now begin to analyze what exactly is going on in this pasuk, the description of our descent into Egypt. And that we started off as a very small nation, we became very large. The first thing, Vayered Mitzrayim, he went down to Mitzrayim. So says the Baal Haggadah, that's referring to a special type of going down. Onus al pi hadibur. He was forced to go al pi hadibur. So first of all, forced to go, LP according to Hashem. That's what it means. So first of all, the Gra says that if you're honest, it's not LP Adibor, you're forced. And LP Adibor means Hashem commanded you, so you went. So he says, what he's trying to say is like this. You were forced to go because if you didn't go by choice, you would have gone forcefully. The Medrash says, "Roi haya Yaakov Avinu lava mitzayim b'shal shaloyis shal barzel." Really, Yaakov Avinu, if you had not decided to go at that moment, it was time to go. Hashem would have chained you up, and you would have landed up there regardless. So it was honest. The chesed was that happened up here. Dibor. The chesed was that Hashem came to you and made a nevuah and said, "Okay, it's time to go. Let's go. I'll go with you." And he appeared to him. B'chalom alayla, b'yomer Yaakov, Yaakov, al tiro meyndam etchaima, anochi el imcha, anochi yeirim chav, anochi alchagam alay. That there was a whole prophecy, but it was honest. It was forced al pi adibor, but together with the nevuah of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the first thing. Then it says vayagar sham. Then the next piece that we're going to say is a major, major fundamental principle, Yesod. I've spoken about it on Shabbos Hagadol, I've spoken about it other times. This little paragraph in the Gra, it's four lines. It's very important, okay? It says like this, Vayagar Sham. He lived there. Now, the Baal Haggadah is being Medayik the Haggadah. Why does it say Vayagar Sham? It should say Vayeshev Sham. That's the normal term. Like it says, Vayeshev Yaakov Berek Mitzrayim, Berek Kanan. You know, but the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. What does it go? Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Mugurav, Beretz Kanan. Vayeshev Yaakov, he lived there. What is it? Vayogar Shom. Vayogar Shom is not the normal term used to describe living. So the Baal Haggadah says, Milamed, it teaches us, Shlo Yared Yaakov Avinu Lishtakeya B'Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu did not go down in order to become Shakua, to become entrenched and permanent in Egypt. Rather, Logar Shom like a ger. Logor is the language used to describe the living of a ger. You're an outsider. You're living like a visitor. That's what it says. So when it says that Yaakov went out to Mitzrayim, it didn't want to say a language of he lived there, Vayeshev. It wanted to use a language of Vayogar. He was a ger. He was living as a temporary resident. He never got a citizenship. He was living with a green card his whole life. Or maybe even just a student visa, depends how good he has lawyers. he was not permanent resident there. That's what it means. Now, says the Gran this, so that itself is a major mussar. Yaakovina did not want to become a resident of Egypt. He was not Vayeshev, he did not live there. Vayagar. Okay, but why is that fundamental to tell us what happened 210 years ago when they came down? That's history. Why is the Baal Gadol busy with this? Who cares? Yaakov Avinu came, wanted to live there. Very nice. I'm not a permanent resident, but you ended up being there for 210 years. You know? Like, yeah, I moved to Israel for 3 months and I'm 35 years later. Okay, but in the meanwhile, you bought furniture, right? So who cares why you originally came? You know, Sezak the Gra. I'm going to read you the words and we'll try to explain. The Maral, I think, has a similar idea as well, by the way. But the Gra in these four words encapsulates a very important idea. Pirish, Liyos Sham Shakua, El Logos Sham Lufisha, to live there temporarily. Here's the words. Shemahaisa Kavanasu Lehishtakeya. Had Yaakov Avinu's original Kavana been to become a permanent resident, Loyhoyu Yechoylim Lehigael, it would have made the Geula impossible. Achzois, Paisa Meis Hashem. This pasuk is part of the Geula. You know why the Geula was possible? Shelahaya Mitchila Kavanasu Ela Lesha. Because Yaakov Avinu ingrained in them the kavana that you're never going to be permanent here. Means the Gra is telling us a principle in Galus. If Yaakov Avinu was 200 years ago, but when he came down, his original coming to this country was as an outsider, I'm a foreigner, that ingrained in the Jews an understanding we're foreigners. So they were always outsiders. They never felt accepted by the society. They never felt that they're permanently here. Now that's what allowed the Gula to take place. Had Yaakov Avinu come down, this is the extra chiddush of the Gula. This you don't see in Agada. This is a gross chiddush. Had Yaakov Avinu, and that's why it's important to tell it to us here. Had Yaakov Avinu come down with the intention to stay there, they would have become part of the fabric of Egyptian culture and society, and it would have made the Geula impossible. That's the Graz Vardavir. Now, obviously, what that means for us is that throughout the Golos, this was true. Jews always felt like outsiders. They never felt accepted. And the question is always, we were fighting that. And Jews, there was always different camps, schools of thought. Should we be accepted? Should we not be accepted? What's going on? But it's obvious that the plan of Hashem is like the original plan of Yaakov Avinu. If you're going to feel that you live there, if you're going to feel at home over here, then that itself will make the Geula an impossibility. Because you will never feel that the need to leave, and you'll always feel comfortable there. I remember one time, Matisseo Solomon, got up and he said that his Rebbeim told him that a Jew in Galus, wherever you live, you always have to have a valid passport. Why do you have to have a valid passport? Because you always have to know that you may have to leave at any moment, and you have to have the ability to leave if you have to. This is the life of a Jew in Galus. You can't feel permanently enough, you know, stable where you are that, you know, I'm here forever. No, you need to have the option that, and the realization you may have to leave eventually. So what ended up happening was right after that shmooze, everyone went ahead and started applying for passports. So the passport office all of a sudden got like 400, 500, 600 applications for a passport like the next day. So all of a sudden they called up the issue. They're like, are you making an uprising? Like, what's going on over here? Like, what happened? Maestro Shaya. It was actually, I'm not going to get involved in politics, but it was immediately after a particular president was voted in. So they assumed that it was a statement against that president. Now, Lamaisa, the next week, Rabbi Matisya had to get up and say, Rabboisai, in Golos, I give daf oichid nishtayin ashoitin. You can't be a fool either. Like, what are you guys doing? I was saying a concept. I didn't mean everyone should go out and go, you know. But that was the, I was in Lincoln. I was there when it happened, this thing. But it's a classic language story. But But Akoponim, that's the story of the Gra. Shalayard Yaakov Avinu Lishtakeya Sham Elo Logor Sham. I think a very, very important principle. Okay? Now, the next words in the pasuk, it said that we got to Mitzrayim b'mseh me'at. We were a small number. A small number. Literally, what it means, a small number. What was the small number? V'shivim nefesh yardu abasecha mitzrayimah. We were only 70 people. So what's the significance of 70? Why does 70 signify that we're small? So here the grub goes way off the Pashup Shad. Way off the Pashup Shad. And he says like this. He says, I don't really know where it fits into the Pashup Shad at all. It's a fascinating thing that he says. So let's just take it as an isolated var. But he basically says that the pasuk is "Vatachsereyu me'at me'elokim," that we are a little bit off from being perfect. Mankind can never be perfect. What's the remez? "Vatachsereyu," we are chaser, we are missing me'at, a little bit from being elokim, from being like Hashem. So he says, "What's me'at?" He says like this. The Gros says, perfection, being like Hashem, perfection means having a perfect knowledge of Torah. If a person has perfect knowledge of Torah, they would have the entire secrets of the entire world open in front of them, like Hashem. Because everything in the world is included in the Torah. So if a person has perfect knowledge of Torah, they will understand everything about the world. So Hashem has to take away a little bit from us the perfection of the knowledge of Torah. We cannot have perfect knowledge of Torah. Says there is two parts of Torah. There's 70 ayin panim l'Torah. There's 70 angles to every single piece of Torah. That's one thing you can know. So if you know all 70 angles of Torah, number one, and you have 50 shari bina, and you're the wisest person, so you understand all 70 with the full 50 levels of bina, right? So he says tachsereu me'at. Means you may know all 70 levels, the ayin of ma'at, ayin equals 70, but you only have 49, which is mem and tes. You'll only have the 49 levels of shari bina, you'll never get to the 50. So the tachsereu me'at me'elokim, this, because me'at is spelled, let me show you what I mean. Me'at is spelled, there's a genius going, me'at is spelled like this, me'at, which according to, I put it on the chat, which means mem and tes, that equals 49, and then the ayin of ma'at, right, equals the 70. Okay, so that's what he's saying. So in order for us to be ma'at, literally means a little bit. We're a little bit off from being perfect. That little bit is you could have all 70 levels of Torah, and you could understand all 70 levels with 49 levels of bina, but you cannot understand it with the full 50. So he says, that's why we went down to Mitzrayim, he says, with 70 nefashas. That's how Chazal knew the Mesei Ma'at is referring to 70 nefashas. We went down with 70 nefashas, and B'nai Leah, there were 49 B'nai Leah. And so there was 49 B'nai Leah, and of those 70 mishpachas, so that was the remnant to the Ma'at. That's how we're going to learn what the Ma'at, how do we know that it's referring to this number? And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu died right when he hit 120. What's 120? He was 119, 70 plus 49. He had the 70 levels of Bina, of Torah, plus the 49 levels of Bina, that you could live. At 119, you could live. Once you hit 120, you can't live anymore. Because now you're hit, now you're already perfect.
That's the number.
That's why when you hit 120, that's the 70 plus the 49. 70 to 49 is fine, 119, you're good. The second that he hit 120, he had to die, because that would reach a level of perfection that's not for mankind to reach. That's what the Gra says over here. It's an unbelievable piece. I have no idea really what it fits with the Pashup Shad in the Haggadah. I'm not sure exactly where it fits with the Haggadah, but I didn't want to skip over the piece because it's a very, very important piece. Now, one thing I'll say is that the Gra in the next piece, it says, Vahisham Lagoy, we were there for a nation. We stood out there. So the Gra says that there's two words for nation. There's called an Am and there's called a Goy. What's the difference between an Am and a Goy? right? Av Hamoin Goyim Nisatech. Avram Avinu is the name, right? Av Hamoin Goyim, but we also called an Am. So is a Goy, is the word for nation Am or Goy? So the Gruff says Am is referring to when people just of the same type land together, and they're just all the same generic, what's a nice word for it? You know, type. But there's nothing really holding them together. A Goy is that you're not just a type. A Goy means you actually are together because in your customs, you're similar. There's something about your culture. You're culturally together because you keep the same customs, you keep the same laws, you understand the same culture, music, food, whatever. So he says that since the Pasuk used the word Vahisham Lagoy, you're there for, it could have said Vahisham La'am, you're there as a nation. Why did the Pasuk choose the word to say Vahisham Lagoy? That shows us that they were, they stood out as people that kept their own personal culture separate from the Egyptians. So that's why they were a Goy there. A Goy again means that they kept their culture, their minhagim, in a way that was separate from everyone else. Again, the Gra is emphasizing that as part of the Galus, in order to set up that the Geula should take place, the only way the Geula could take place is if during the Galus they had kept their own identity. And that's clear, but according to the Gra, again, just to start off to where we ended up, that started with the way the Yaakov Avinu went down in the first place. Okay? Okay, so that's the first pasuk, and tomorrow we'll go into the second pasuk. Okay? Thank you, everybody. That's the